Brother Bill, good to see him. And if you're visiting with us any other place, all y'all teenagers, glad to have you tonight. How many's going to camp? Raise your hand. Going to camp? Raise your hand. You going to camp? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. We'll go call the DSS. Pick up. We got a few to pick up here after church. We're going to have them placed somewhere in a home where they can be, where this big old mean man sets on your head every night till you go to sleep. And you have to scream for mercy. And probably three or four teenagers a day die in there. And that's where you're going to go. Soon as service is over tonight. Y'all got the number, call them, and we'll have them put in there. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at some scripture here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we're going to look at a verse of scripture here tonight about this old church member that wasn't much. And all of you know about him. You preachers know about him. His name's Demas. Man, I'd hate for my name to be Demas. That sounds too much like what? Yeah, it does. I mean, people be calling you Demon for your nickname. If your name was Demas. It also sounds like Dumas. I mean, you know, old dummy or stupid. Old Demas. Wouldn't that be awful if that was your name? That's what he gets. That's what he gets for doing what he did. He forsook Paul and quit church. And the Bible calls him Demas. Look here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 10. It said, "For Demas hath forsaken me," Paul said, "having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christian to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry." And the Bible said back there in verse 10 that Demas left Paul because he loved this present world. I've wondered, after hearing all these independent Baptist preachers preach, I am one, what Paul was talking about, the world. There wasn't no TV. There wasn't no internet. There wasn't no ball games, or they might have been sporting events, but there wasn't no 90% of what we consider the world today. But he left him having loved this present world. So the definition of the world is anything or any activity that cools your affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's rough. It could be a fishing boat. It could be an old hot rod car. It could be an old pack of dogs. It could be a sports. It could be anything that takes you away from what the Lord would have you to do. That would be the correct definition of the world. I know preachers, Brother Bill, you do too, they think as long as your dress is down to here and your hair is fixed right and you got a King James Bible, that you're not worldly. Some of the worldliest people I've ever met looked right, acted right, and dressed right, and their heart was 90 miles from God. It's right to do all that stuff, but your outward appearance does not make you right. Now, when you get right with God, it will eventually come out on you on the outside. But that you're just fixing up on the outside does not make a person right with God. So I don't talk about just being a blessing. Being a blessing to your church. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are in a war in this country. When George Bush, the second son, he got up and he said the war on terrorism ain't going to be short. He was right. And this war that we're in America is going on in a lot of things. Now, whether you realize it or not, we're in a war. Islam and Al-Qaeda and terrorism is active in this country. I believe anybody ought to be able to practice any religion they want to. If you want to believe in that light right there and worship it, you got the freedom to do that. I can't tell you what to worship. You can't tell me. You can worship rocks, trees, anything you want to. You're wrong, but you do have a right to worship whatever you want to. Now, what we're seeing in this country is when they hit those twin towers back in New York City and knocked them down, our country has never been the same since. And I believe personally, my personal opinion, that we got scared. And I believe our government bowed down to the terrorists and said, look, we'll cooperate with you. We'll do anything you want if you won't hit us no more. So all of a sudden, you start hearing about how wonderful Islam is. And how it's equal with Christianity. And all the time on the news, have you noticed in the last 10 years? Have you seen our motels, our convenience stores where they sell gas? Is all run by people who believe in Islam? I'm not being discriminatory. I don't care if a person from another country, if they're another religion, that's their business. I know. But we are being infiltrated. Our country being taken over from the inside. They cannot overpower America by itself. And all the preachers always said America's never going to fall from outside. We're too strong. America will fall from the inside. And our country tonight is being infiltrated. I read somewhere, heard the other day, that Islam, Muslims, gave $10 million to a certain college. So they give $10 million to a college and offering 10 more million. Why would a Muslim group give $10 million for a college? I'll tell you why. To be incorporated in the curriculum, a course on Islam. And so our colleges now are teaching Islam in colleges and universities, and anybody in here that goes to a major college will tell you that it's coming through. It's coming through in the curriculum. You get enough donations, you get $10 million, you'll say, we'll set up a course on this, we'll hire a professor to do this, and we'll teach Islam in the school, and they're teaching that Islam is not only equal to, but is superior to Christianity. Also, we are being pressured as Americans not to have kids. We're being pressured. Don't have kids. Don't have kids. Don't have too many people in the world. Overpopulation. Da, 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 da. You know, there's like 7 billion people in the world. And they've done a study that you could take everybody on this planet and put them in Jacksonville, Florida. One city. Everybody in the world. That's how big the city of Jacksonville is. If you've ever drove around it, around that 295 or whatever, the 495 or whatever it is, that road that goes around it, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can put everybody in the world in Jacksonville, Florida. We do not have an overpopulation problem. We do not have a global warming problem. There's enough oil. America owns enough petroleum, and they say there's enough oil under our land in America for enough to have enough fuel and gas for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. I'm telling you tonight, there's a conspiracy going on. They're trying to break America down. And the New Age environmental Greenpeace owl-kissing, tree-hugging crowd is the crowd that makes you want to... Listen, all you kids, you're going to hear this at school. You just ignore it. When they tell you just to be a vegan, you know what that is? People just eat vegetables, just laugh at them. Amen. I mean, brother, listen, brother, you can eat you some chicken, and you can eat you some fish, and you can eat you some hamburger meat, and enjoy it. Amen. That's right. When they tell you that you can't cut a tree down, when they tell you can't shoot a deer, when they tell you, just tell them to jump in the lake. I'm telling you tonight, I seen this bumper sticker, this person going down the road, and you see these say, coexist. And it's got a cross, and it's got the Star of David, and it's got... Every time I want to see them things, man. I'm glad I got a bumper sticker that says, are you saved on my car out there? Amen. Listen, I don't know whose side you're on, but you know what they're doing? They're sending thousands of Muslim boys to America, and they're going to college. Well, you know what Muslim boys do when they go to college? They marry American girls. And we're told not to have kids, and American girls become baby factories for Islam. And they're multiplying by the thousand. And in about another 10 or 20 years of this, our country, it's going to swing the other way. It's going to swing the other way. We're going to be the minority. Americans and people believe the Bible. If the Lord don't come, I'm going to tell you, we need to make up our mind. We need to make up our mind. Because you know what Islam teaches, don't you? Islam teaches that if a Muslim man marries a anybody else, woman, that the kids automatically adopt the religion of the father. and the kids is raised in a weak church, in a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Pentecostal, and they don't even know the Bible, and they fall in love with this Muslim guy, and she's weak, she don't even know where John 3:16 is, and never went to church half the time, and her mom and daddy took her off at gallivanting all over creation instead of going to church regular. And so he says, "We must adopt my religion." And she said, "But I've always been a Christian." He said, "No big deal. We all believe in God. Allah's the same as your God." And the stupid girl believes him, and her kids are raised Muslim. And I'm going to tell you tonight, girls and boys, there Allah is not the same God that we worship. Allah is a false God. Muhammad is not Jesus. It's not just another name for the same God. It's a different God. It's a false God. One of them's lying. Brother Jesus said, "I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me." I talked to one of them guys the other day in one of these convenience stores. I always tell them the same thing. I say, "Remember, Jesus loves you." And they look at me like, "What? What?" I said, "Jesus loves you." And he says, "What? What?" I said, "Jesus, Jesus." I mean, "He loves you, you." And he goes, Oh yeah, Allah, same as God. No, it ain't. They're taught to say that because most Americans ain't got enough sense or conviction to know the difference. Allah is not God. The Quran is not the same as the Bible. We believe the Bible's right and it contradicts the Bible, and so they both can't be right, people. They both can't be right. Thank God we still believe in the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And brother, we that Jesus is the way. We don't want no Demases around here. Don't forsake the Lord having loved this present world. I got the president. Nothing personal against our president. I honor him as my president. I don't hardly agree with nothing he believes in. This stuff that happened this week on this Defense of Marriage Act. You know what we've done this week? Here's what we've done. We've been going down, down, down. The whole country just took another step down this week. It's been on the news all week. DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. The homosexuals are celebrating. We don't hate nobody. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm not discriminating against them. I mean, they ain't no better than I am. I ain't no better than they are. But I'm going to tell you what's right's right and what's wrong's wrong. And in that Bible, a marriage is a man and a woman. If we let this generation convince us that a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, the next generation will be marrying their dogs. And I'm not kidding, it's going to happen. It's headed that way already. You don't know how filthy and wicked this world's got. I mean, we got women right now that carry a little foo-foo and kiss foo-foo in the mouth. If you're a woman, you kiss a dog in the mouth. You're a nasty woman. I mean, I wouldn't kiss my wife if she kissed a dog in the mouth. Say amen right there. Y'all don't kiss dogs, surely not. Don't you kiss dogs. Now, listen, you say, "Well, little foo-foo clean." You watch, you put little foo-foo down, watch where he'll put his mouth. Anywhere. Amen. Anywhere. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just saying, brother, we're headed the wrong way in this country. That's right. None of this was in the message. I'm telling you, you just never know what's going to happen when you get up here. But I'm telling you something, brother. I told these people, I said, I got the president on video, and the president said, "The Holy Quran says, the Holy Quran says, the Holy Quran says," four times, "the Holy Quran." And when he says the Bible, he just says the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. I said, "Why don't you say Holy Bible?" Amen. If they're equal, if the Koran's holy, the Bible, he's not putting them on equal ground. He's putting the Koran holy, just the Bible down here. Can you feel that resistance in here tonight? You feel that devil fighting what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I believe the Bible's holy. I believe the Bible's holy. It says on mine, Holy Bible. It's holy. It's holy. And we're going to have to make up our mind. You people's got kids in public school, you're going to be dealing with it here in the next few years. You mark it down. You mark my word. We're being infiltrated. They couldn't get us from the outside, so they're trying to take over from the inside. Now we want to be a blessing. We don't want to give up. We don't want to give in. We want to just hang in there. Amen. We want to hang in there. We ought to go to church. We ought to go to church.
You ought not to be going to church less. You ought to be going to church more. We ought not to have to hunt you down. We shouldn't have to hunt you down and say, why ain't you been coming to church? Well, I should have to go knock on your door and say, where in the world have you been? If you're a part of Shining Light Baptist Church, and you're a member of this church, you ain't y'all to be. And if you're a part of this church, brother, when we open them doors back there, if you are physically able and got the gas to get here, you ought to trust yourself. I mean, I don't know how many just laying at home tonight, got in the habit of laying out of church on Sunday night. It ain't no time to be laying out. It ain't no time to be slacking up. It ain't no time. We need to get our kids into every preaching service we can possibly get them in. Listen, you don't know what I've already said here tonight, how it's helped these kids right here. They need to know the truth. They need to know what's right. They need to hear the man of God preach the word of God. It'll stand, brother, when the world's on fire. Thank God we've got something to believe in. And die for if necessary. Amen. I get here it all the time. Where's so-and-so? Ah, they're in a mess again. They're backslid again. They got arrested. They're drunk. They're on drugs. Don't be a Demas. Stick in here. I'm talking to you men now. It's a man's job to make sure his family's in church. Lord have mercy. I went and watched Gage. Gage play whatever that was. What he caught, was that baseball or something? Huh? It's baseball. He was 5 years old. Man, I went and watched them play, and I didn't get to go, and didn't get to go, and didn't get to go. Every time I planned on going, it rained, or I'd have to be going to preach somewhere. So Corey kept saying, Daddy's only got one more game. So I went. And I'm telling you, I bet you there's 300 people out there at that park, out there in Marion. 9:30 in the morning. Sun started, what time they start? 8? 8:30, Wesley? No, it was 9:30 when the second game was going on. No, 9:30. And there was people lined up. I bet you there's 300 people out there. And it was 10:30 when we was out there. And it was hot. And that sun coming down on your face like that. And I mean them mamas. Wah! Oh, baby! Wah! Got a boy, baby! Nothing wrong with that at all, are they? There ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, I was cheering for him. Old Gage, he got a hit. He stands where the pitcher supposed to stand, but he don't really pitch, you know. They have a man that does the pitching. It's a little step above T-ball. Lord, that T-ball's, that ought to be against the law. That's the boringest things. I mean, brother, when you strike out in T-ball, you know, we ought to wait a year or two, okay? They put the ball on a thing like that and they still can't hit it. The little boy's going, and finally they hit it and he goes, ding, 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 ding. The little kid goes, no, honey, first base is up. You don't even know where first base is. And go, baby! Go, baby! Go, baby! Go, baby! Poor little kids out there sweating, sweat running off of them uniforms, all that. And them parents said, come on! Come on, boy! Come on! Come on, boy! You can do it! You can do better than that, boy! Come on! Come on! Come on! I was sitting there thinking, there ain't nothing wrong with that. If I had a son, I'd want him to play baseball, basketball, everything. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I thought, what if this was church? What if we had to have them there at 9:30 on Sunday morning and kept them to 1 o'clock outside in the hot sun and screamed at them? Come on, baby, you can do it. Say that Bible verse. Yeah, say it. Come on, you can do better than that. They'd have us locked up. They'd say, them people, those religious fanatics, are pressuring those poor children. They ought to be taken away from them, put in a good, safe environment. Making them wear them, you know, them little kids are sweating. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I liked it. I'll tell you, buddy, if I had a son, I'd want him to do it. But I'm saying, you see how hypocritical the world is. See, if they knew we was taking them to camp and saying, preaching to them every morning, every night, they'd say we're cramming religion down their throat. Yeah. Don't talk to me about cramming stuff down kids' throats, you hypocrite. When they got 4 ball games a week. Say amen, people! Amen. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with going to ball game 4 times a week. I don't care if you do or not. But there ain't nothing wrong with getting them in the house of God and teaching them the Bible either. God told me the other day, he said, we're not going to take our kids to church unless they want to go. That's going to be their decision. I thought, oh man, you're retarded. I bet you don't let them make a decision whether they want to go to school or not. No. You let them choose if they want to go to the dentist. Get up, boy. You're going to school. Get you an education. I'm going to let you make his own decision. And church is 10,000 times more important than school. People get mad when I say that. You wait till we get to judgment day and ask God what he thinks is more important. One sermon from the Word of God, one touch of the Holy Spirit is more important than everything this world has to offer this evening. Amen. It sure is. I tell you what changed my life is that old power of the Holy Ghost up there at Nebo Baptist Church got me saved, got me out of that old sinful crowd I was running around with, changed my life. It wasn't some lecture on Spanish or a subject on English. It was the power of God and some old preacher preaching to me the Word of God. We got our priorities mixed up in this country. Our priorities are mixed up in this nation. We forgot what's really important. We don't want to push them in religion. We push them in everything else. Yes, get that uniform on, boy. You ain't tired. Ain't but four more games after this one. We ought to be behind our church. Amen. They done a study. When both parents attend church regularly, 72% of their kids attend church regularly when they get married. When only the daddy comes to church regular, 55% of the children go regular. When only the mom brings kids to church by herself, 15%. You see how important that daddy is? Wind up going to church. The man. You know what's wrong with that generation of kids? There ain't no man in the house that'll stand up and be a man. And say, as for me and my house, 9 times out of 10, it's a woman having to beg the sorry thing to come. Take a stand, you men. Rise up and say, I'll stand for God. And me and my house, we're going to church. Listen, if you're married to a weak man, I feel sorry for you. Because a man's got to be the strong one. He's got to be the strong one. He's got one that says, hey, if the kid's sick, wipe its nose, let's go on anyway. Don't use it for an excuse for everybody to stay home. Or mama goes Sunday morning, daddy goes Sunday night, so you can both get in on one of the services. Amen. Don't be a forsaker like Demas. It shouldn't bother you to have to give. It shouldn't bother you to pay your tithes and give your offering. Told you before, a friend of mine told me there's a big church down in South Carolina, and they got to noticing that the offering was lower than normal several weeks in a row. And honestly, they started thinking, something don't happen there. And somebody had the idea, they went to the pastor, and they said, Pastor, we might ought to check up on this. They said, We got all these people reporting at the end of the year they're giving so much money, but we're coming up several thousand dollars short. Something ain't right. This is awful to say. This is a Baptist church in South Carolina. This is how bad it's got. They had to install surveillance cameras all over the church. So when they took up the offering, they had this one usher who took up the offering who would always stop by the restroom right before they went to the room where they counted the money, and he'd stop in there to go to the restroom and taking out several hundred dollars and sticking in his pocket and then going on and give it to them. And they caught him on video. And the guy had took like $8,000 or $10,000. Well, they called him before the board of the church and they said, look, man, you can't lie out of this. We got you on video stealing money out of the offering plate. And of course he confessed and he cried and bawled and said, you know, and they said, the only way we're not going to press charges legally, If you're going to stand in front of this church and you're going to tell them you're sorry what you've done and you're going to pay it back. And he said, okay, I'll do it. He stood up in front of the church and confessed. How would you like to do that? I wonder how much of God's money you got in your bank account that you ain't put in. What if I made you stand up here and confess you ain't been paying your tithes? You say, well, he stole it. You did too. Will a man rob God? Boy, that's rough preaching there, ain't it? But if you're paying your tithes, it don't bother you a bit. The only people in here that bothers is the ones that ain't doing it. It don't bother me. My conscience is clear, brother. I put mine in this morning and my offering on top of that. Listen, I've made a lot of mistakes in my time, but brother, taking God's money ain't one of them. As a matter of fact, let me just throw this in while I'm on the subject. God knows my heart. I have never, by God's grace, took one penny from this church that I wasn't entitled to or authorized to, that I know of. Not a penny. In case any liar ever tells you anything different. Amen! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. God knows that's the truth. If I've done something wrong with it, I don't know it. God knows. Sometimes, if it works out the way I think, was that my money or God's money? I put it in and put extra just in case it ain't my money. I'd rather err on His side than on my side. Amen. I don't misuse God's money. And I ain't had a raise in 8 years of you, and ain't asking for one. I wouldn't turn it down, but I ain't asking for one. Next Sunday is the anniversary, you bunch of tightwads. But I'm seriously, I'm just kidding. I will tell you something tonight. You do right by God with your money, and God will bless you. The Lord said, prove me now with and see if I won't. You watch a man that gives. If a man will give, God will sit in heaven and he'll give. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you're not able to receive. I believe that. I believe that. I don't mean to sound like Joel Osteen, brother, but it's, you can give. You can give and God bless you. I can't do it like he can. I cannot be as sweet as he is. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We ought to stick by this thing. There's too many people falling out, giving up, giving out. This is the worst time of year, too. Make up your mind you're going to stick in here. Make up your mind you're going to stick in here. Stick it out. Stick in here. 100%. Give, honor the Lord. I got some other things I'm going to say, but I'm going to stop. I read about Sam Jones, and Sam Jones used to be a great preacher in this country. And old Sam Jones and him, they used to have what they call, we call them revivals or camp meetings. They call them quitting meetings. That's what they call them, quitting meeting. We're going to have a week of quitting meeting, and you quit everything you're doing wrong. Once, that's a pretty good idea, ain't it? Everybody just quit everything you're doing wrong. Don't matter what it is, you're cussing, if you're lying, if you're drinking a little bit, if you're doing, just quit. Good time to quit right here. And they call them quitting meetings. And everybody just went to all of them, and you just quit. If you hated somebody, you asked forgiveness. If you stole something, you paid it back, and you just made everything right. Quitting meeting. Once in a while, we ought to do that. We'll just say, Lord, I'm going to quit whatever I'm doing wrong. Because if you're not careful, little by little by little, you'll start justifying your little sins. You really will. You really will. I do, you do. We're all, that's just the flesh. You start thinking, well, you know, nobody's perfect and God knows. And I mean, I know this is wrong, but I have a reason to be like this. I have a right to hate somebody or be mean or ugly or take this or don't take or do something I should. I've got a right to because of my circumstance. You better watch talking yourself into thinking it's all right for you to do something God said you wasn't supposed to do. Because it ain't. I've heard people say, well, I was raised up rough and I was molested when I was a kid. And I hate that if that happened to anybody in here. And I know there's probably a bunch of you. But that don't give you no right to be no pervert and go live wicked. And be that don't give you no excuse. I don't care how you was treated when you was growing up. I'm sorry it happened, but it gives you no right to sin against God. I don't give you no right.
You say, well, my mama's mean to you. That don't give you a right to do wrong. You say, well, my daddy mistreats me. I'm sorry, but that don't give you a right to sin against God. God ain't mistreated you. Let's do what God wants us to do. I don't want to be one of them people that say, you remember that old Danny Castle? He used to be a preacher. I don't want to be there. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head.